Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay then, the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, has published yesterday information and tracing legislation which we're told will give adopted people automatic rights to information about their background. The bill provides a right of access to birth certificates, birth and early life information for all persons who were adopted, boarded out, the subject of an illegal birth registration, or who otherwise have questions in relation to their origins. It also includes provisions for care and medical information for those who have questions about their origins. There has been a mixed reaction to it. Later, we'll, in the second hour of the programme, we'll hear from Mary Ryan O'Brien, the founder of ANDAS. But the Adoption Authority of Ireland welcomes the birth information and tracing legislation published yesterday by the Minister, says a press release they released. They're the state's regulator for adoption services and custodian of over 70,000 adoption files and records, including all adoption files from 1953. The authority believes, says the statement, this is the right time and it's correct to give adoptees their original birth certificates, all of their early life and care information, and critically, their medical information. And the Adoption Authority of Ireland describes this as a hugely significant step in removing the stigma, silence and secrecy surrounding adoption for so many adoptees, natural parents and their families. The authority also welcomes the establishment of the new contact preference registrar, which will retain the details of 14,000 applicants currently registered on the National Adoption Contact reference or preference register, which is operated by the authority since 2005. That's the Adoption Authority of Ireland. Co-founder of the Adoption Rights Alliance, which has campaigned on this issue for many years, is Susan Lohan. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Now, what do you make of that? Because you have reservations about this new bill, or at least parts of it.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think in your opening sentence, you repeated that the Minister is maintaining that this bill gives automatic access to adopted people to their birth certs and other subsections of personal data. It does not give automatic access. Any adopted person whose natural parent has expressed a no-contact preference, and of course by conflating access to information and a tracing service and making contact, we are in this quagmire. Those individuals whose parents have expressed such a preference will be obliged to participate in a mandatory information session. Now, we couldn't have been any clearer to the Minister, but neither could the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission have been any clearer, nor the various GDPR, you know, data protection experts who attended the Joint the Rockus hearings on this bill last summer, that obliging adopted people, and, you know, a subset of adopted people to participate in such a session was discriminatory and completely at odds with international norms, but also at odds with the GDPR legislation itself.
All right, just first of all, explain what this information system would be, a session would be about for listeners.
Right, well, this is the really repugnant bit. Adopted people, I mean, maybe we're considered as individuals who don't have full capacity by the department's officials. But we, in this session, it would be stressed to us the importance of respecting the privacy rights of our parents, parent or parents who have registered this no-contact preference. Now, what we said all along was that, you know, there's going to be various leaflets, pamphlets sent out with regard to this new service, particularly for anybody who requests their birth cert. It would have sufficed to have put a leaflet in to into that pack, just saying what no contact preference meant. But I think all of us, you know, we have a fairly good command of the English language, and I certainly have no difficulty understanding that. And the real irony, Clem, is that there's a tiny percentage of natural mothers have expressed such a preference. I think it's less than, it's something like 0.13%. But ironically, the numbers of adopted people who've expressed a no-contact preference is much, much higher. But natural mothers are not being hauled in or obliged to, you know, sit through a phone call with a social worker explaining to them what no contact means. So it's discriminatory, it's repugnant, it's offensive, and it pulls us back into that narrative that adopted people cannot be trusted.
I'm intrigued by the whole thing in the first place. You know, is it a case, and I don't want to be too graphic with this, that the government consider adopted people to be less intelligent or thick, that they don't understand,
yeah,
you know, when woman B or man B doesn't want to be contacted. Simple situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And given that the parents on the other side won't be expected to do that, that's one element of it. There's another, what's the stuff in the bill about the difference between the term mother and birth mother?
Oh, right. This was an issue that was flagged particularly by various groups of natural mothers who gave testimony to the Joint Rockers Committee. One group in particular who've been very active in campaigning is the Natural Parents Network of Ireland. Their website is Adoption Loss Ireland. Now, they've constantly said that the phrase birth mother is deeply offensive to them because they feel it minimises the contact, the relationship with their child to the minutes during which the child was born, when of course they all carried their children for 9 months. And the vast, vast majority of them were detained in various institutional settings with their child for many months after the child's birth. So for that reason, they abhor the phrase birth mother, and equally laughable is the phrase birth father. You know,
right, but isn't that a fact, though, that it's to make a distinction between the mother who gives birth to the child and the adopted mother?
Well, I think with every group, with every sort of marginalised group, we should always go along with their wishes. So, you know, let's say black people, you know, we wouldn't dream of calling them anything other than black people because they've told us that's how they want to be described. They don't want to be described as coloured people. Equally, people with disabilities, we don't call them handicapped anymore because we've taken our cues from the people to whom these descriptions are applied. So I think if mothers in the situation, you know, if the, you know, they were first mothers, you could say, and that's another phrase that some other groups prefer. But I think for the purposes of the bill, I think it's clear that, you know, the mother is the person to whom or who gave birth to the child. And then there's not too many references to adoptive parents in this bill because their involvement only comes in where they're requesting information for a child under the age of 16.
Right.
And we can just say adoptive parent there.
Okay.
You know?
Now, on the generality of things, I've spoken on this topic on this programme on numerous times. I know a couple of people who are adopted, and one of the points they always made to me, the primary point, I want to know who I am, where I came from. And in particular also, I need to know my medical information and background because I'm a father, I'm a mother, and I want to know any possible impact on my children. How is it that if I bring a human being into this world via conception and birth, that I, as an adopted person, my right to contact and find out more, which I can only find out maybe through contact with the birth parent, if I might just use that for the moment, is trumped by that person in the first place who conceived me, who gave birth to me, who was the father of me, or whatever else, just decides, right, I brought a human into the world, but I don't want to have anything to do with them ever again.
Yeah. Well, I will say there is one very good facility available in the contact preference register. So any parent who or relative, and I mean both natural parents could be deceased, it could be an aunt, you know, a grandparent, where such an individual lodges a no-contact preference, they will be encouraged by the Adoption Authority of Ireland to lodge as much information as they possibly can about their family's medical history. Now, there's no compulsion for them to cooperate with that, which would be an absolute shame. And I do hope that in the course of this new era of adopted people gaining some information rights, that natural parents who have this sense of maybe trepidation, that they will come to realise the shame is not with them. The shame is with the Irish state and the various churches who ran this awful forced adoption industry in Ireland, who ensured that families were broken up simply because the mothers were unmarried and the children had the status, I put this in inverted commas, illegitimate, because that's what we were called back then, and that they have nothing to be ashamed of, and that, you know, it's down to the very backward attitudes that existed in Ireland from the formation of the state really up until the turn of the 20th or the 21st century. So I'm really hoping that more people, and I know even at the moment, I know of people who are forging relationships with parents who are in their 70s and 80s, and both parties, you know, are rejoicing in the delight, the joy of those relationships. But in the first instance, this bill is about information. And it is quite clear that adopted people will not have the same information rights as other citizens in the country. And if it was any other marginalised group, let's say I was sitting here as a gay person, as a traveller, as an ethnic minority, as, you know, somebody from, you know, a Jewish person, right? It would be absolute, people would be screaming from the rooftops about the discrimination, and there's patent discrimination. I mean, the other huge concern about this bill, Clem, is that our personal data is going to be sliced and diced by social workers into the various categories you mentioned at the top of the segment: early life information, care information, medical information, birth information. I don't want a disinterested social worker going through my file. Just give me my file, because it's my information. By having all of these, you know, these categories, these, and some of them intersect, there's going to be undoubtedly important pieces of information that will be left out. I want to know, for example, most adopted people want to know, who decided that I would be put up for adoption? Was my mother coerced? What are the dates on all of the forms that she signed? You know, hundreds of adopted people have grown up with the narrative that their mother adopted them at a very early age. And anybody who saw the film Philomena will see that in action. And Philomena's son, Anthony, was told that his mother abandoned him. Of course, he was 3.5 years old when he was trafficked to the US. So he and she were together in the home for that entire period. So I think this is all part of the cover-up. You know, whatever we do, whatever the government has determined, that whatever happens, adopted people will not have a clear picture of why they were born in such institutions, and, you know, the forces that resulted in them being separated from their mothers. And most worryingly of all is that social workers will have the power under this bill to write a narrative of our history from the file. I mean, you know, anybody out there, you know, who's had anything to do with, you know, a large data transference exercise will know that that results in huge mistakes. And I know from, over the years, over 20 years of being involved in this issue, Clem, I have been told off record by various social workers that they don't regard this work as important, that they think child protection is more important. They don't see the point in wasting time on this. And TUSLA, as we know, are hugely underskilled in this area. They are under-resourced. and they have very, very funny attitudes towards adopted people, which I've seen throughout the course of their dealings with those people who were illegally adopted, and how they have withheld information from such individuals without any legal imprimatur to do so.
All right. On that note, and we will return to the topic just at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, when we'll hear from Marie O'Brien of the group Ahantis, who has similarly been campaigning for the rights of adoption people. But on that proposed legislation, the birth information and tracing legislation, which was published just yesterday by Minister Roderick O'Gorman of the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, co-founder of the Adoption Rights Alliance, Susan Lohan, taking issue with, in particular, some of the aspects of that as she enunciated there. Susan, great talking to you again, and thank you so much.
I wish you well.
Thank you, and good morning.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, to local issues now, but of course adoption is as local as any issue you could get, with so many people being adopted. What a good speaker Susan Lohan is in expressing the reservations and articulating them so clearly as she did. More on that after 10. Let's go to Ciara.
Yes, I'm joined now by Fine Gael Councillor for NACE MD, Fintan Breck. Good morning to you, Fintan.
Good morning, Ciara. Good morning, listeners.
You have asked the council to instruct the contractor, this is on the Salins bypass, to erect a traffic merging sign on the slip road exiting the N7 north towards Salins. Obviously, a lot of issues have been flagged with the Salins bypass, Fintan.
Yeah, look, Ciara, to be fair, the Salins bypass is a godsend to people, and no more so than at the moment, where there's major works going down the middle of the village that couldn't have been done until this was open. So by and large, Salins bypass is a fine success on that, and that can't be said enough times. But there is, as is always happens when you have major roads like this and sections of opening at various times, and that there is a couple of teething problems, and one of them would be where you exit, if you're heading north coming off the 9A, heading either to Salins or to Clane, you merge into traffic, but there's no sign on the slip road that you're merging into traffic. And I think literally one sign saying merging traffic would be a very beneficial there. And another one, I suppose, and I brought this to the attention of the officials without going through a motion on it or that, is that it's a dual carriageway up to the roundabout that takes you into Salins, and after that it's single carriageway. But when you come off that roundabout heading towards Clane onto the single carriageway, there should be a sign there saying single carriageway, because people can have it in their minds that you're going onto two lanes, but they think that that maybe is still a single carriageway. So a sign there also saying you're now entering single carriageway road may be beneficial also. But by and large, here, I can't emphasise enough that this road is absolutely brilliant.
Okay. Fintan, I was speaking with your colleague Evie Salmon yesterday about this, and I know yourself and four other councillors, including Evie, Carmel Kelly, Anne Breen and Colm Kenny, brought this forward. It's about asking the council to initiate the process of reviewing the parking bylaws for NACE. Is there anything you want to add that Evie mightn't have touched on yesterday?
Not particularly. I think she covered it fairly well. But look, what's happened is the likes of Poplar Square has been pedestrianised, and there's areas, what we call Section 254, where there's furniture allowed on the street and that, so there's parking areas being removed and that. We're looking also there that the town centre, hopefully there'll be planning coming in on that fairly soon, and there'll be a lot of parking coming available. We're looking at trying to engage to make sure that when these changes happen, that the town and the parking bylaws are up to speed forward in that. Now, they did say that, look, the report is quite clear that we're actually at the back of the list on it and that, but the road section are going to engage on it, and as Evie has said, that's a good start, because they are the people really that you need to be dealing with on it. So we're quite happy with the report there. And as I say, it's purely just to flag it that we need to be looking at these, because there is a lot of changes happening in the centre of NACE, and all for the better.
Okay, yeah, NACE has had a pretty good time as of late between your hurlers, footballers and winning the Tidy Town Awards. It's not a bad time to be representing NACE. Thank you so much, Councillor Fintan Brett of Fine Gael, for NACE MD.
Thanks, Ciara. Thanks, Fintan. And there's also Kildare County Council are announcing some works around NACE and other parts of the county, but we'll deal with just NACE first. Road resurfacing works will take place at the T-junction in the centre of Johnstown, close to Johnstown Gardens. Works will take place. They began yesterday, and working hours from 8 to 6 o'clock in the evening. Traffic management will be in place in the form of a stop and go in that particular one, and Kildare County Council apologises for any disruption there. That's road resurfacing works taking place at the L2005 T-junction in the centre of Johnstown, close to the Johnstown Garden Centre. And there's a water outage in NACE tomorrow. It's between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m. Now, it's overnight, affecting as far as Super Value on the Kilcullen Road, Corbin's Lane, Friary Road, Salins Road, as far as Joe Mallon Motors, Basin Street and surrounding areas. It's a water outage overnight for some works being done there, so you want to check your taps in the morning and maybe run off if there's any discoloration in them. Owen?
Yeah, and there's some other works happening as well around the county we'll get to very, very shortly. Yeah. But first of all, let's go to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District and Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick of Fianna Fáil. He joins me now. Dara, good morning.
Good morning, Owen. How are you this morning?
I'm not too bad. You're also chair of the Dreahead Liaison Committee, and that committee meeting took place yesterday afternoon. Just explain to us, first of all, Dara, what the committee does, who you are, and what the meeting was about.
Yeah, well, just look, it's a local community grant that's available to communities and all around within 9 kilometres of the Dreahead landfill facility every year. There's 200,000 in the fund this year. The fund has been going, established in 2009 with the landfill opened. And there's been a Dreahead Landfill Committee every year, and they adjudicate on these grant applications. But the grant scheme has 200,000 in it this year. And if people aren't aware of the scheme, GAA clubs, residents associations can apply this year if their project is biodiversity. That's a new one for this year. We didn't allow residents associations to apply in the past, and we're now allowing resident associations to apply this year. So that's a new one for the scheme this year. Look, it's a maximum grant of €25,000. The grant scheme has been advertised at the end of the month in local papers and on the Kildare County Council website. And applications will open up then. And on the 11th of March, the applications will close, and the Dreahead Landfill Committee will meet then and adjudicate on all the applications. It's a very good scheme. Like local GA clubs, you've probably seen it right around Robertstown, Allenwood, Carbery, St Kevin's, all Kyle Dove Hurling Club, Kyle Dove Soccer Club. Loads of clubs and groups around the area have benefited from the grant scheme in the past, and I would expect that to be a lot of applications this year again.
So applications, or you can apply from now, is it, Dara, and then it closes on the 11th of March?
Closes on the 11th of March. The application form will be up on the Kildare County Council website, and if anybody has any questions, they can email dreadgrants@kildareco.ie, and Ciara Gallagher is the lady inside that looks after the grant scheme, and she will reply to any queries from the public. People will be used to applying for this grant scheme in the past, and the local community within 9 kilometres of the facility have benefited greatly from it in the past. And as long as lorries and stuff keep going into the Dreahead landfill, mm-hmm. people will benefit from this in the future.
Okay, as we know, Dreahead landfill is around the Carbery area, but Dara is saying that it can stretch from 9 kilometres from the landfill site, so the likes of Staplestown, Coyle Dove, Allenwood, Robertstown, etc. into Carbery.
Johnstown Bridge into Prosperous, down into Kilmeag, and just up to the close to the Edenderry border.
Very good. So it covers a wide range of areas as well, and more details can be found on the Kildare County Council website. But that is Dara Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil Councillor for the Clane MD and Chair of the Dreahead Liaison Committee. Thanks for that, Dara.
Thanks, Dara.
Thanks,
happy New Year to you, Dara, as well, and thanks for that. Now, back to those County Council announcements, by the way. Aside from NACE, there's also going some leakage pressure testing in Kildare Town tomorrow. it will be overnight again from 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. and it's affecting the Dublin Road as far as the Silken Thomas, Meadow Road, Claymore Road, the National Stud and Tully Cross. After news in the second hour, Owen will look at the other announcements affecting various areas around the county, but those three in regards to Furness, the road surfacing around the area of the Johnstown Garden Centre, a stop and go will apply there, and the water outage overnight tonight from 1:30 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. affecting as far as Super Value on the Kilcullen Road, Corbin's Lane, Friary Road, Salins Road, as far as Joe Mallon Motors, Basin Street and surrounding areas, and that leakage pressure testing also overnight tonight from midnight to 2 a.m. affecting Kildare Town as far as the Silken Thomas, Meadow Road, Claymore Road, the National Stud and Tully Cross. More after 10. Clarify there that road resurfacing, I mentioned the Johnstown Garden Centre, I just read it wrong from the notice. That road, those roadworks are at the T-junction in the centre of Johnstown, close to an estate, a housing estate called Johnstown Gardens. That's where I mixed that up. And that, as I say, began yesterday, and I'm not sure if it's still continuing into the day today or not.